Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I am Alex, and this week I am joined by Jesse Gomez.
I'm so excited to be here. Hi, Alex.
Hi, Jesse. And hi, Emma. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Oh, that was nice, because that was sincere.
I'm genuinely... Jesse's. People always say I'm insincere, but I think I'm genuinely quite enthusiastic about things.
I've never heard you speak the way you just spoke, ever.
Well, you've never listened to my VO.
I have. I actually think... Well, I was listening to your VO just before we started recording this podcast.
Unbelievable.
Your voice is actually much better than you are. So.
Thank you, Alex.
Oh, here he goes. He's got his phone.
This again. Sound
That's the only time it's going to be used today, I promise.
It's been a very quiet week because Cardi and Matt are both off.
Good.
Not together, as far as I'm aware. I think Cardi's just at home playing games, and hopefully Matt is out doing something more than
something
just doing
worthwhile
what
and sunny.
I'm not. Video games are worthwhile, Jesse.
Yeah, I know.
But yes. doing something more than he would normally do in a normal work week was going to be my point. But with them both being away, I'm not saying that you were third choice on the task at hand this week, but we had the opportunity to play Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Obviously, Cardi plays a lot of Avengers, so he knows a lot about that game. Matt knows a lot about the Guardians comics.
Yeah.
But I did think you did a sterling job of the content that we've got around it. Now, for reasons, you're not allowed to share your opinion on the game just yet.
Yep.
So you can only answer in...
riddles.
Ones and zeros. Deliver information.
I've been able to put together three lovely visual experiences for everyone to watch on our channel, and also a little bit of reading on IGN as well. First video...
Well, I think...
Go ahead.
Exactly. The thing that... Well, a lot of the questions that came out the first round of previews was like, they gave a top line idea of what the combat was like.
Yeah.
But you've been able to go into a deeper dive, because I think there is, well, still confusion as to kind of what it is that game exactly is. And I think you answer a lot of those questions.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like before I got, when I eventually got around to playing it, you know, combat is a lot more complex than what people might expect it to be based on the trailers they've watched and stuff like that. There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to controlling Star-Lord and Command and the rest of the Guardians, and I've said that in my video, so please do watch the recently released video. It goes over everything you'll need to know about combat in Guardians of the Galaxy, and has some pretty sweet gameplay as well. Just gonna say it's all new stuff because I recorded it. But before I got my hands on Guardians of the Galaxy, like, I don't know if you two share the same, but have you lot been interested in this game beforehand based on trailers and stuff? Because I'd say I'm a fan of the Guardians film-wise, but I wasn't really expecting much when watching trailers and stuff.
No, I think, to be honest, I played a bit of Avengers.
Yeah.
And while I liked the kind of overall presentation of it, I found the mechanics a little bit pedestrian.
Yeah.
And so I didn't stick with it.
No, same here.
And I'll be honest, I've tarred Guardians with the same brush. But
yeah,
having seen, obviously, a lot of the gameplay that you've captured and going in a bit more detail, it does feel like it's much more up my street. Obviously, it's a single player narrative-driven game.
Yeah.
That's my bag. And I kind of, you know, again, as a passing interest, I was under the impression that you switch between the characters, you don't always play as Star-Lord, but you do get the option to control them or boss them around or however you want to describe it.
Yeah, so, Sorry,
go on, Emma.
No, I was going to say I'm kind of in the same boat as you, really. I tried Avengers and didn't really stick with it for very long at all, but this does look very different, which I'm kind of excited about.
No, that's certainly true. I mean, unfortunately, like we've established, I can't share my impressions on the game, but if you do want something similar to that, Cardi did a hands-on preview, and that preview is very good. So if you want more information coupled with my combat guide and a few other videos, you'll have all the information you might want in order to secure an opinion on Guardians pre-release.
It's hard to talk around this, isn't it?
It really is, because you know what it feels like when people say, just do an objective review or give me your objective opinion on the game. It's like, you can't do it because it leads to conversations like this when I want to describe the game to you. I'm failing to do that. But
So he did liken it to, is it Final Fantasy Remake? I think in terms of the way that you kind of issue commands and stuff like that.
Yeah. Because I guess everyone was kind of expecting something akin to Avengers where, you know, you're controlling a bunch of different characters and stuff. But obviously that isn't the case based on everything we've seen so far. And, you know, you are issuing commands to your fellow Guardians and stuff. And there's a lot of there's a lot to play around with when it comes to, you know, instructing your Guardians and playing a Star-Lord. But outside of just the combat guide as well, if you're interested in seeing a boss battle or a bunch of unlockable costumes, we have that as well.
Oh, he's really flogging it today, isn't it? It's all right. You've done some work, mate. Jesus.
I put work into this and I want people to see it. But...
This isn't the Jesse Gomez promotional podcast.
You know what? It's just frustrating because, like, I want to be able to talk about this game freely and stuff. But obviously, we have to wait until new embargoes and proper reviews come out.
Well, it's out in, what, 2 weeks?
I think so. It's the 28th, isn't it? Or something like that?
Yeah.
So not long.
No, not long at all. And it was lovely being able to make these videos, to be fair.
I think... The best thing, obviously, outside of your incredible words and an amazing editing, like, obviously, we've got half an hour's worth of actual captured footage rather than supplied B-roll in the studio.
Yeah.
And I think that shows off the game way better because you get a proper sense of, well, one of the boss battles is you know, how you operate as a team, how you, you know, issue commands. Because I think... You know, I think that was the thing I was unsure of is like, you know, well, how do I get Rocket to go and do this? And it's pretty simple now.
No, for sure. Because like outside of, I don't know if they've done extended gameplay reveals for this game or not. I haven't really looked at like pre-release marketing or whatever, but I've seen a few trailers. And even then, you're not really being able to appreciate or fully understand how the game works. And obviously you want stuff like this to, you know, formulate your opinion a little bit better before you spend full price on a game and, you know, whether you enjoy it or not.
Are you allowed to talk about the abilities at all? Like, I don't know if you're allowed to say that.
Well, surely if they fall within the certain chapters of the game.
The thing, like, it was just literally me telling you, like, how combat operates. I cannot say whether or not I enjoyed it. But
I hope this gives a glimpse into how kind of the video games, well, I guess it's the same as any industry. You know, the flow of information.
It's definitely odd when you want to obviously convey certain messages and feelings towards something, whether you liked it or not. But obviously you're quite limited in doing that. But I think my tone comes across in the combat video. And
well, it struck me, and this is not you offering your opinion, and I've not played the game.
And I'm listening to you. It struck me
as if you had a good time. And let's leave it at that.
Okay. That was Guardians of the Galaxy, everyone.
Yes, and from one group of heroes to another, Ted Lasso, season 2, finally finished last week. And I know that you've been watching it, Emma. What are your thoughts to, well, I thought was a kind of a bit of a hit and miss season?
Yeah, I think I like the season overall. I like that it goes like sort of, it goes deeper into like the characters. You got more character development. You can see like their relationships with other people grow a lot. You see like behind, like without, I'm not going to spoil it, but like you see more of like Ted as a person behind his like friendly sort of persona and smile and stuff like, and he's had a pretty tough time, it seems. I can say that. I like that they spend a lot of time on that in this season. I think it does come at the like detriment of, we don't really see a lot of football.
It's certainly, it's become a season or a series about those characters, as you say, it was almost as if there had to be an episode dedicated to each of the sort of the major players within that. And it was like, okay, right, we're going to do this one about that. And at times it felt pretty disjointed. I watched it in quite a disjointed way anyway. I watched a load of them in one go, and then the last four really spaced out, and to the point where I've forgotten half the stuff that's happened beforehand. I was like, oh my God, what's going on here?
Yeah, like, no, I did the same thing. Like,
I think at the end, I think it definitely pulled it back on track. The last couple of episodes I thought were really, really good. I think it sets itself up well for season three. A few of the things I didn't like that Christmas episode. I thought that was horseshit.
It was at the wrong time of year as well. I don't know about you, but my partner and I refused to watch it.
Yeah,
it was like, I think when I watched it as well, it was like right when we had heat wave. Yeah. It was like super, super hot. So it just felt weird anyway. But yeah, my partner and I won't watch Christmas episodes. We'll try and like avoid them if we're watching a show, and then save them up for the year and then watch them at Christmas time.
That certainly makes sense.
Yeah, like just because, you know, it's like more festive, and then you remember what you've actually watched over the year as well.
Yeah.
But it felt weird watching a Christmas episode in the middle of summer.
So,
for sure.
And then, but some, again, I can't even remember what happened in it, but I don't feel like it was really explained apart from, oh, it's Christmas. It's like, it was just literally out of nowhere. Why is it?
Yeah, the show does that a lot. I feel like it does that more this season, where it just skips time and kind of just expects you to know, but you won't know how long it's been. And like, it does that especially with the football matches.
Yes.
So like, yeah, it will start off by being like, oh yeah, this is happening with Richmond, and then the next episode all of a sudden it's been like five or six games, and you're like, oh okay, like that's happened in the background and we haven't seen it.
Yeah, you didn't really get the ebb and flow of the kind of team's performance or anything like that. The other thing that I thought was really weird is like the kind of, you know, the three hardcore fans that were always stood at the end of the bar. If they're that hardcore, why are they not at the game? Why are they watching it in the pub? It's like, come on, get a ticket.
Maybe tickets are expensive. I haven't watched any of this show, so I don't know. I don't know how expensive football tickets are.
Well, they're expensive for like big teams.
Exactly.
I feel like Richmond wouldn't be that.
No, championship team.
I just know them as sausages, to be honest. Not familiar with the football team. Richmond Sausages. I don't know anything about the football team. I don't know what quality that speaks to.
Every time we see Richmond.
I thought you were talking about like the mascot for the club is a sausage, because it's not, it's a greyhound. But anyway, like the other things that I thought, I've made a list, so I'm going to go through them.
Oh.
I found the Sky Sports stuff really painful.
Oh, has it got like fake Sky Sports?
No, it's
like
got real Sky Sports.
It's real people, yeah.
But obviously they are not actors.
Yeah.
And it just comes across as a bit painful. Like the Thierry Henry thing in the Coach Beard episode, I enjoyed. I thought that was funny.
I thought that was nice, yeah.
But like when it keeps cutting back to Chris Kamara and I forget who the other two are, I was a bit like, oh, this is a bit awkward.
Yeah, it was quite
Did you
like,
not feel that?
Yeah, it was like harsh cuts to them as well. I guess it's good that they were there, because it's like, oh, I recognise you like from the weekend, like watching you all the time. But
yeah,
I don't know. It depends if you like them as well, I guess, if you like the actual people. Like,
well, I love Soccer Saturday and all of that kind of thing. But I just think they're good when they're talking authentically about what's happening on their screens. And when they're, you know, when they're coming up with their lines, it just felt very forced. Opposed to three proper pundits talking about stuff.
But isn't it so cool because you recognise them?
I think it's one of those things that probably when it was scripted, it was like, this is a cool idea. Like, it just doesn't quite work.
No, it happens a lot in like just TV shows and movies in general, where you'll have a cameo whether it's like on like a Saturday Night Live kind of deal or a news station. It's like, oh, I recognise that host, but you're seeing them act instead of do their job, and it's like this doesn't come across well at all.
Yeah. Sorry, next thing. I thought there was too much Roy Kent.
There was a lot of Roy Kent.
A lot of Roy Kent. And it's all, I know that they have definitely fleshed his character out a bit, but it's still a bit like, I get it, you're really gruff and you sort of, you know, you're sort of one syllable answers to stuff. It's like, come on.
Yeah, they try and make him I feel like they try and flesh him out as a character a little bit more in this season, like, because you see more of him as well, and then his relationship with his girlfriend and stuff.
And again, no spoilers, but you see a lot more of that side of him come out towards the very end of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's more like vulnerable as a character, I would say. Yeah. Like, he lets his guard down a little bit, which is good.
I do have a question. Like, I'm like someone who doesn't know much about football and stuff. If someone who isn't familiar with football would want to watch Ted Lasso, would they still like get a kick out of it? Would they still think it's funny, or is it just kind
you
of like...
You don't need to know about football, I don't think.
No?
It's not really about... That's a vehicle for the characters as opposed to it being, you know, it's not like a Last Chance You or something like that.
Yeah, fair enough. Not like that film we watched. What was it called?
What, Green Street?
Yeah. That's all about football. I learned so much.
Also, I don't think you really need to know about football to fully understand that either.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of lads hitting each other, isn't it?
I want to join a firm.
Exactly. I did really like the emotional side of things. Again, not going into too much detail, but there were certain elements of mental health that they touched upon, which I thought was really nice. I thought they handled it in quite a good way.
Yeah, for sure.
And I thought, even though it was one of the weirdest pieces of television I've seen, I thought the Coach Beard episode was really funny. But again, so out there in terms of like, what's this?
Yeah, that episode really stood out to me just because it was so different. And like, you don't really get to see much of him in either season, really. He's always there with Ted, but, you know, he's quite a mysterious character. And I feel like that episode made him even more mysterious in some ways. But that was cool.
To fill it in, Jesse, it was almost like an hour's dream sequence where they go on this just bizarre, like, they're almost dressed like Peaky Blinders for reasons. I'm not going to go into detail. Yeah. But it has really very little to do with the rest of the season.
Yeah.
It's just him and different predicaments that he gets into. And there are obviously touch points with, it refers back to this. But it's so weird and, like I say, out of place.
It's like when a sitcom has like a musical episode for no fucking reason, just pops out of nowhere, I guess.
Yeah.
That sounds like my kind of jam, baby. It does sound like a fun show.
It is a fun show. And like, obviously, I think the benchmark was set so high with the first... I did a little burp there. Oh, I'm professional to do that on a podcast. Apologies. The benchmark was set so high with season one that it's never, ever going to kind of hit that. But it felt like it's the same kind of shtick, but moving it along. And it'll be interesting to see what they do for season three.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I'd say it's like we were saying earlier, don't worry if you're not into football. Like, I think you'll still enjoy the show. The first season is like really sweet and wholesome. And I remember Matt and Cardi were talking about Ted Lasso and like why they're necessarily not as into it.
Yeah.
But, and I remember them mentioning like, oh, it's like maybe a bit too sweet, all the time. I feel like season two does sort of address that a little bit.
Yeah.
With the like developing relationships and also with the mental health stuff, it does sort of, it changes the tone a bit. Like, it doesn't completely lose its identity or anything. Yeah. Like, it's still a really nice show to watch. You're not going to be like, you know, upset after watching it or anything. It is like really wholesome, but I feel like it does have a bit more bite to it than the first season did. And I like that about season two.
Is this on Apple TV?
It is on Apple TV.
Is there anything else worth watching on Apple TV? Because like, I've got Netflix, Amazon, Disney, but Apple TV seems to be like the one last thing I haven't heard much fanfare about other than Ted Lasso.
Like, there is a bunch of, like, Charlotte really likes The Morning Show. Apparently Foundation, which has just come out.
Okay.
Apparently that's good, but I've not watched that yet. For All Mankind is supposed to be good.
Yeah.
But again, I've not watched that. There's a Beastie Boys documentary on there that's very good, but I wouldn't recommend you pay a full subscription. Like, normally, like, if you buy an Apple device, you get 3 months. 3 months free.
That's an expensive way to go into Apple TV.
But if you're going to buy a phone anyway, whatever. Yeah. Like, for example, when I got my work laptop, I got 3 months free.
I should have made use of that. I'm a fool.
So you should have made use of that. Exactly. Like, the other weird thing about it is like, one of the characters is called Danny Rojas. And in so the lead character for Far Cry, it's called Danny. And switching from one to the other is so weird.
That's weird.
Because, like, he's a bit of a sort of, like, a lovable... idiot's not fair. But super happy, super lovely kind of South American player. No, well, but he is, I guess, like, he is supposed to provide laughs.
Mm.
And then cut to Far Cry, where it's, you know... somebody who's just going around shooting as many people as possible, it is a bit of a jarring experience. But again, I don't know how many people are going to be going through that in the same way that I did.
It sounds like it really like scarred you up, the change from Danny Rojas to Ted Lasso in Far Cry.
Well,
shook you up, man.
They had slightly different names, but is it, they're exactly the same.
Yeah. Fair enough. That is odd. But who came first? Was he in season one? Was he already an established character?
Yeah, he was in season one.
Yeah.
Can't believe Ubisoft copied him. You heard it here first.
There's a bit in this episode where his shoes are too tight, and I just couldn't get that bit out of my mind while playing Far Cry. And it's a recurring joke that keeps on going throughout that one episode of Ted Lasso. And then I was just thinking, well, I wonder if her shoes are too tight, because I played as the female version of Danny in Far Cry. She didn't complain about them, so I'm guessing they were fine.
Yeah, that would be an odd game. Seems more like a Death Stranding kind of deal than a Far Cry deal, to be fair.
And also, you can change your shoes in Far Cry, so if they were too tight, just get another pair.
That is absolutely true.
We are going to talk more about Far Cry in a little bit, but first, you guys have played Back 4 Blood, and I have not. What's it like?
I'll go first. I like it. I feel like I constantly compare it to Left 4 Dead because it's hard not to, right?
Yeah, the marketing has basically said like, well, hey guys, we're Left 4 Dead, but don't tell anyone we're Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, we're new Left 4 Dead. I like Back 4 Blood. I feel like I've played the opening missions like so many times at this point.
that's pretty much what I did as well. Yeah, I haven't gotten past like much of the new acts because most of my experience was with the alpha and beta, and that shared a lot of the opening acts. Obviously for the final game as well, that's all I really experienced. But it is basically it's kind of the spiritual successor that a lot of Left 4 Dead fans have been wanting for years. It's just the main difference is that this has basically a card system and Left 4 Dead doesn't. That feels like the core difference of Back 4 Blood and Left 4 Dead, really.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, how do you feel about the cards? I feel like I don't really like consult my team when I'm picking a card, and I probably should be, to try and like make our team as strong and as good as possible.
I think what I always liked about Left 4 Dead, that series, is just how kind of, not really bare bones it is, but it just kind of works. You have single player and multiplayer and a few other game modes, and then you get into, you know, a mission or a campaign, you have your weapons, your characters are vanilla, and then you just go through and play, and that's it. But with Back 4 Blood, like, I know they're trying to add some sort of like longevity and more customization to it, but I don't think the card system is really something that a lot of Left 4 Dead fans, myself including, will like gravitate towards to, especially if you're doing like solo play as well, because I know that Back 4 Blood's single player offerings are quite slim and limited as well. It's really bizarre. None of your stats are tracked. You can't like, you don't have any sort of progression when you're in single player, or that entire like mechanic of the game only exists on multiplayer, which seems so bizarre for something that's basically telling itself like, hey guys, we're Left 4 Dead 3. It just seems a bit, it just feels wrong, I guess, as someone who's loved Left 4 Dead for years.
I get that. I think the other thing that sort of puts me off of playing Back 4 Blood sometimes is that with Left 4 Dead, you can just hop in with friends and you can like sort of blast through the game quite quickly.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't do that in Back 4 Blood. Like, I was playing with Cardi and Matt the other night, and I think we must have played for about 3 hours, but we didn't even get to like act two. And it and like the only reason we stopped playing was because we ran out of continues. So it was just like, oh, okay, you failed.
But like, bonkers.
Yeah, it just feels like when you're hopping into a game of Back 4 Blood, that's a real time investment on your part.
Yeah.
And yeah,
is that because it's new and unfamiliar, and over time you'll kind of build it up and be able to rattle through it, or is it just down to game design?
It does feel a little bit more. Yeah, yeah, certainly. I think it's a bit more difficult than what, like, sort of standard Left 4 Dead, that sort of standard Left 4 Dead experience was when you're playing on normal and stuff. And also think, because I enjoy playing these games single player as well, because that's basically how I got introduced to Left 4 Dead back in 2008 or whatever. And the AI was, like, pretty competent and, like, actually quite responsive back in that game. But when I've tried playing single player in this, like, the AI is honestly quite dumb. Like, I'll be, you know, left behind, like, hanging on a cliff or, you know, being down by an enemy, and AI will just stand there and look at me, like, enjoying the fact that I'm basically getting killed. But in Left 4 Dead, they're a bit more responsive and stuff. It's just, it's odd. It's definitely a bit more of a difficult game, but I think that comes down to the technology in it as well, since you want to push more zombies on screen and, you know, have bigger effects and stuff. That's only naturally going to lend to it being a bit more difficult than, you know, the large groups that you could have in Left 4 Dead, but obviously not as large as you can have in Back 4 Blood.
Like, with Cardi and Matt both being away this week, Emma, like, you're completely free to say it was down to them being shit, but you didn't know that too. So, like, if you, like, the microphone is yours, go ahead.
Fuck them up.
That's the thing, I think.
Who's the worst player on your team?
Well, that's the thing. We played three of us for a while, so we had, like, an extra, like, random person.
Oh, you're snitching up the rando then.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you were stuck with us.
That was the boss of IGN.
Jesse 69.
Yeah.
But yeah, what was, like, one thing that was, like, interesting was I think both of them had already played, like, a little bit more than I had. And they were sort of like, there were certain points where you'll be getting to, like, a portion of the level and it's like, oh, you know that there are going to be lots of, like, enemies suddenly appearing. And what was interesting was to, like, hear them, because we were talking over, like, voice chat and stuff. They were like, oh, when we did this yesterday, this, you know, it didn't feel as extreme as it does now. Like, it didn't feel as difficult. Yeah. And there were other times sort of when they were sort of like bracing themselves for a big fight to happen, like where lots of like zombies were going to sort of like run in and maybe it didn't pan out quite how they were thinking. Like, I remember just hearing like them sort of saying stuff like that. So I haven't played through like multiple times. Like I played the beta and then just like last week. Yeah. So I'm interested to see if I go back to those opening levels, like how different is the experience each time?
In some way.
Yeah, it's got, as far as I understand, adaptive difficulty, and it has the same kind of system that Left 4 Dead had. Going back to that, it had sort of what's called like an AI director. So depending on how well you're playing, they might add a few more special infected around a corner, or you might have a door that used to be there that now isn't, or you know, this horde might pop out when last time you played it didn't. So it has some small, has like a few small changes from like campaign to campaign, but it's not like, you know, you're having these humongous differences each time. It's just small things to kind of keep you on your toes, I guess. And Left 4 Dead did the same back in 2008, which was quite cool.
Yeah. Did you see, was it KFC's gaming channel did something like...
They took the piss out of it, right?
They did. I was trying to find it. I can't find it. I thought it was honestly a bit harsh.
I find it tiring where it's like you have these big, like, faceless brands which are like taking digs at each other on Twitter and people like, oh yeah, that's so cool. My favorite burger like dissed this game. I'm like, I don't care, man. it's a little bit lame when you constantly see Wendy's or whatever the fuck it is like clapping back at KFC or something. It's like, I don't need to see that online. Just eat their food.
So on the subject of Back 4 Blood, we got an email from Rory who says, over the last few weeks, it feels like we've had a massive influx of games and tech, from FIFA to Far Cry, new Nintendo Switches, and Left 4 Dead reskins.
Ooh.
Well, for KFC. The problem with this is that I don't have an endless supply of money, and deciding which of the new games to buy has made me resort to review watching, seeing which games get the best reviews, and how to spend my money wisely. Yeah, I use Metacritic to keep my eye on new releases, hoping to get some clarity, but between review bombing from users and somewhat mixed reviews from game critics, I've been left empty-handed and annoyed. I hate that games are so expensive now, with no way to get a feel of the game before spending a load of money on it, which almost seems unfair. Especially when you consider most games now require about 2 to 3 weeks of post-release patches to fix game-breaking issues. Anyway, what do you guys feel about the whole topic? And should games get more free-to-play demos to justify the higher price tag? Ultimately, I do think £70 is an awful lot of money for for a game.
Yeah, that is, I'm that not is saying big time cash.
They shouldn't be that, because if you look at some of the development teams that are involved in those projects, they're fucking massive.
Yeah.
And you know, maybe it does need to reflect that. But at the same time, it's a massive investment if you're sitting on the fence.
Yeah.
I did see, I think it was either last week or maybe the week before, that Sony in Europe is potentially testing game trials.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like, because, you know, demos have all but died out. Like, other than being on Steam and PC platforms where, you know, indie developers make specific tailored demos, you're not getting demos anymore when it comes to consoles. And I feel like a limited time trial, like maybe 1 hour or 2 hours, depending on the game, it's probably going to be set by the developer. Having a trial of like the full game sounds pretty perfect, because you can play up to a point and be like, I quite like this. You pay for it and you've still got the game installed. You can continue where you left off, if that's how it works. That sounds like the best route, because like, especially when I used to work at a cinema and stuff, and I was still studying at university, and like, I was saving up a lot of cash just to try and buy, you know, a 60 quid game, or if I was lucky to buy two and stuff, just because of my paycheck and travels to uni and stuff. So I definitely understand. And I feel like those trials seem like the best way. But also, if you're just, it sucks, because I feel like patient gamers are often more rewarded than people who want to be like, you know, I want to play all these new games as soon as they're out, because you probably missed fantastic games from a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago that you might have missed that, you know, might be on like the best list of that particular year that are still quite cheap and you can enjoy. But when it comes to those new releases, I guess people can feel this thing of just being left out, I guess.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's one of the reasons why I really like Game Pass, because can get a taste of, you know, some of the new stuff that's coming out, but you've also got a back catalogue of decent stuff in there.
Yeah.
I think the only thing, like, I think it is that time trial thing. I guess the only thing you've got there is that a lot of the games, the opening isn't necessarily the bit that reflects that game the best.
Yeah. Like,
when I played Far Cry 6, I actually thought the opening was pretty rubbish. That opening island, just because I hadn't got into the rhythm of what the game is like. And it is classic Far Cry, but again, more on that later. And so I wonder if that could have a detrimental impact rather than it being positive. But I guess swings and roundabouts. Or whether it might even change the way that people develop games.
Yeah, I think people, it's tough to say, and I feel like Cyberpunk had this the most, where people saw, you know, all the marketing material and how people really, really bought into that hype. And then you had, you know, you had a reviewer who like might have given it a 10, and you might have had a review who gave it a 5, and people latch onto a single review, and that's their entire opinion. That's what their entire opinion is based on until they eventually play the game. And if you're shelling out like, you know, 60, 70 quid, or even £100, if you want to go for like the ultimate edition or whatever, digitally or physically, people need to like chill for a second, maybe watch some unedited gameplay, watch or read a bunch of different reviews. And that's the thing, people latch onto the hype. And they only consume like one review, and then that's their opinion sold. And then they end up potentially wasting their money for a game that, you know, they might not actually enjoy. And at least if you have something like PS5 trials or, you know, Game Pass, at least you're able to formulate your own opinion and not just, you know, go headfirst onto purchasing whatever game you want based on a single review. I think that's what a lot of people fall for, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think what I currently do is I'll watch people stream it on Twitch for a few hours and see like, okay, because then you're getting someone's opinion as they're playing, but also you can see the gameplay for yourself, like unedited, which I quite like. I guess, with single player games, I'll definitely do that. With a lot of like multiplayer stuff, sometimes you'll get like betas and stuff. So that's always good. Like I always try and hop into those and see like, you know, like what do I think of the new Call of Duty or like Battlefield and stuff like that. Yeah, I would definitely like to have more demos, more trials and stuff, because games are really expensive. And like, yeah, if you're sort of thinking like, okay, I've got this amount of money, you know, budgeted for a game this month, and you've got to make a hard decision, like especially at this time of year when you've got lots of big things coming out, you want to make sure you pick the right thing for you.
Yeah. I think it's 100%. Also like, because he mentions looking at lots of reviews, I think sometimes that can also be more confusing. I think you've got to try and find people who have got a similar taste into kind of same stuff that you're into.
Yeah,
and probably follow a couple of those people rather than looking across the board because, well, you know, it's one person's opinion and it can be very different.
Yeah, like we see it here, like on, you know, I mean, I've especially seen it since working here where a review might come out and people just latch onto that score, don't read the review, don't watch it or anything. And they say, that's my opinion done. I've formulated my opinion based off two numbers or one, and that's it. And it's like people, you have to do a little bit more if you want your money worthwhile for it to be worthwhile, or else you're going to fall into that trap of just being completely bumped off. And no one likes that.
It's like, so if you use Far Cry 6 as an example, there's only one voice you need to listen to on Far Cry 6, and that's mine. And I'm going to tell you why right now.
Wow, this is really exciting.
I know, right? So I finished it, much to Dale's amazement. Like, I couldn't believe how, like, he was like, properly like, you finished it, it's 30 hours. I was like, all right, Jesus Christ.
I'm not going to lie, I shared a little bit of that. Just because I don't often hear you say that, like, you've finished this, like, a really large game.
But that's because I'm really selective over, like, I'm not going to pump 30 hours into something if it's just average, which goes back to that point before. You know, I'm in the extremely privileged position that we get to test a lot of stuff out. I think if I'd have spent £70 on something, I would just persevere and make the most of it or trade it in and try and find something else, do my homework beforehand. Yeah. And so going back to Far Cry, like when I finished that first island, which is what, a couple of hours, maybe a little bit more, I was just like, is that it? And you know, and it is like on a plus point, it's Far Cry and you know, everything you love about Far Cry, Far Cry 6 does well. But on the negative is it's Far Cry. And it's like, I've done all this before so many times. And even though the whole game is about revolution, the one thing that this game is not is revolutionary. It's, I remember chatting to somebody at Ubi and they obviously know how much I love Far Cry. 5 didn't really do it for me. It just felt like, okay, you're really rinsing this formula. And he was like, you'll love 6. We're introducing so many new things.
Gonna blow your mind.
And actually they have introduced a load of new stuff, but a lot of it just doesn't work in my opinion. Like, Matt, I don't know if you guys spoke about it when Dale was talking last week, but the new bullet system where you have armor-piercing bullets.
That's just frustrating.
But in the end, like once you get past that frustration, you don't actually need to worry about it because you just equip an assault rifle that's got armor-piercing bullets and another assault rifle that's got soft target bullets, and there you go.
Yeah.
Covered.
Yeah.
And also, if you hit them in the head, you pretty much rattle through them anyway.
Yeah,
and so,
that's true.
Like, I ended up having a really sweet setup, 4 guns, like a decent sniper rifle, a couple of, like, either an assault rifle with a single shot shotgun or something for different targets, and then a really big rocket launcher. And you can pretty much deal with anything when you've got that. And then, like, all of the resolver stuff, which is the, you know, you're kind of cobbling together bits and pieces to make weapons, they're super powerful.
Yeah.
The ones that you get quite early on in the game are so powerful that you don't really need to use any of the others. Like, you get this Supremo backpack, which when you fire off, you know, rockets go out. But, like, it does so much damage. I didn't even bother trying any others out all the way from start to end.
Fair enough.
And I was a bit like, well, you know, maybe I should be more experimental with how I'm playing it. But at the same time, if it's not forcing me to, then why?
Yeah, that's the thing, because you're going to revert back to like unupgraded guns or stuff like that, and then you're just making it more difficult for yourself, I guess.
Well, like Dale was saying, and I get this, like, because so the default one was like basically rockets that blow shit up. And then you get EMP ones, you can get poison stuff. So the poison stuff means that the other soldiers start shooting each other. Pretty cool. EMP disables tanks. So rather than destroying the tank, I can disable it, yank the person out and get in it myself. But I may as well just blow it up and then kill the people that are standing next to me rather than faffing around going like, oh, wait a minute, I'm just going to go and get him out of there. Yeah. So I'm definitely more of the direct route.
No, for sure.
But the one, like, mechanically, it's very, very good. Like, it feels super satisfying to run around and explore the world just like every other Far Cry game did. I tended to sort of run places more than I did go in vehicles, just because I like exploring the island.
Yeah.
But, you know, it does suffer from that classic Ubisoft thing of there's too much stuff on the map.
Yeah.
It's
no, yeah. Like, 100%.
Dale loves that shit, because, like, if you go...
He platinums fucking everything, man.
If you go onto, like, a map that shows everything that's on that map, it's like, oh my God, it's just overwhelming. Whereas I'm like, yeah. What is the path of least resistance? What do I need to do to get through to not kind of do that? And it's funny, because, like, now that I've finished, like, the main single player, I feel like I'm kind of done, whereas he's going through and just literally clearing out everything else. When I spoke to him earlier, he was looking for 13 hidden roosters. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing with your life? It's like, really?
He has to get the platinum. Oh, it's in his blood.
It's unbelievable. Work.
Yeah. That's the weird thing when you look at, like, just Ubisoft games at large. It's like, I've played just an okay amount of Far Cry 6, but I don't really see myself going back to it unless someone says, hey, do you want to play some co-op? And I'll be like, yeah. Sure, because I've played Far Cry 6 already. It's called, like, Far Cry 5. It's a little bit different. I feel like a lot of the Ubisoft games obviously like that. You know, you've got Watch Dogs Legion, which kind of came out, and now it's just like, yeah.
But I had a really good time with it.
Yeah.
I had a really good time with it. And, like, when I stopped playing it, I was like, I want to go back and play it again.
You want to find those roosters.
but it was more to kind of continue that story, and then you get into that Far Cry rhythm of, like, you know, doing a mission, then doing an outpost, then doing an ammo drop and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it progresses quite nicely in that respect. And the island opens up and you can do things in different ways. Obviously, the island is very pretty.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an enormous leap forward compared to PS4. You know, what do I know about game programming? But, you know, some of the bits are pretty janky. And even Giancarlo Esposito, like, the cutscenes in that are properly, like, 12 frames a second, like, to the point where I was like, what's going on with this?
Yeah.
But for me, it was a really enjoyable game, and I agree with what JR gave it for us, which was an 8.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, like, with Far Cry 5, it just, the setting I found was really boring.
Mm.
I quite liked the main villain, but all the bits leading up to it were just a bit of a shambles. And also, that game was broken. I spent about 8 to 10 hours playing that, and then I got to a game breaking bug where I'd start again.
Oh, wow.
I am not going to do that. And to be honest, if that happened in 6, I'd probably be the same. I'm not going to
do it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But going back to Rory's point, if you want a recommendation, then just listen to me, because I know what I'm talking about, right? Far Cry 6, 8 out of 10. If you like Far Cry, you like Far Cry 6.
I mean,
That is the definitive review right there. I've not played co-op. Don't know what that's like.
I've played some co-op.
You've got your little, like, you know, animal companions. You can have a chat with them.
Yeah. Stuff. They just get annoying. Like, right at the beginning, I had, like, the crocodile alligator dude, and it just steams in every single time. And I was just like, I'm trying to be stealthy. It's like, stop.
Yeah, it's such a pain. Like, I kept dismissing Guapo, and then it would just randomly appear again. Yeah. And it was like, wait, I sent you. I didn't want you to come with me. Yeah, it would always ruin my stealth stuff. I played a bit of co-op, by the way.
I like the dog. The dog is my choice, because you can just use him to distract the people. Either to sneak past or go up and kill them.
They got me there. Chorizo is mad cute. Just want to just, like,
oh no, not that dog. The other dog.
Oh, I haven't got to that yet, but I never will. Like, that's just telling the truth.
Are you done with the game now, Jesse?
Just, like, unless someone says, like, Jesse, do you want to play some co-op? I'll be like, for sure, let's do that. But I'm not going to sit back down and just finish the game, because I just don't care.
Where are you?
I'm, like, currently, I've gotten past, like, you know, where you can get on the boat and fuck off, do the other false ending and stuff. Like, I'm just on the part where you're choosing, like, what island you want to go to hire whoever and
that's
help
really
and
near the beginning. But that goes to my point of, if that was your game trial, I'd have had the same opinion as you. But I knew that, well, firstly, I trust JR, because, you know, I know him, and I think he's got good taste in games. So I was like, if this is an 8, then I believe it's an 8, so I'm going to stick with it. And I think you could easily have that negative opinion of it. And I do think if you spent a bit more time getting into it, because like I say, it's got a definite rhythm. And the opening doesn't have that.
No. I've definitely experienced that. And like when I last played it, before I played it with Dale, I was enjoying it. And I was just going from mission to mission. I was like, oh, there's a crate there. I want to go there. I want to go into this cave and stuff. I was doing all of that. But then ultimately, I was just like, I would rather play, you know, something else that's maybe like 8 hours long and it's just a kind of linear story. And once it's done, it's done. Because when it comes to like those big open world games like Far Cry, like, you know, the recent Ghost Recon games and stuff, like if I'm playing it with a friend, I'll get a lot more enjoyment out of that. But by myself, it just feels a bit lonely.
Yeah, I find I get distracted as well. I'll get distracted from the main quest and go and do hundreds of side quests and then be like, oh, I haven't finished the game yet.
No,
I can't stay on track.
I quickly started to ignore that. Whenever you drive down a road, there's always somebody in need of your help. It's just like, you're on your own, mate.
Sorry.
Don't give a fuck about that problem.
Exactly. And also, like, obviously you're called Danny Rojas, but everybody in the end, it's like everybody on the island knows your name. It's like, oh, Danny. Yeah. It's like, this is weird. It's like, all right, I've done a few things. I'm not that popular.
It's a legend, like
I
say, isn't it?
I enjoy it. So we should actually, if people will now have hopefully played Far Cry and also Back for Blood and maybe even watched Ted Lasso, you should let us know your thoughts on those. What's the email address, Jesse?
Oh, I know you're going to fucking ask me, man.
IGN _UK feedback. I was going to say it. IGN.com.
I was going to say it.
You're going to be tested. Right, I think that's it for this week's kind of games and movies. Should we move on to the endless search?
Oh, yes, please.
Let's do it. Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah, and ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it endless search? Okay, so I'm going to be hosting the endless search this week. Or should I rather say the endless starch? Because that's the game that we're playing today.
All right. Can you remind me what the endless starch is? I can't remember.
Oh, thank God you asked that.
All right, so basically, so first up, thank you to one of our listeners, Emil, for sending this in. I can't take credit for any of this. This is all you, so thank you. So the endless starch is when I'll read out like a description of a game.
Yep.
In this case, it's all games that came out in 2020. Ooh. And the answer will have like one letter or number changed, and it will like
all right,
match the description. So do you want an example, Jesse? You look really confused.
You know what, I think I'm good. I got this.
Yeah, you got it. Cool. All right, so number one, a PC simulation game where you follow a retired boss after a successful sports career. A simplified phone version is also available.
Oh no.
So it's something to do with Football Manager, but what's the first bit?
A PC simulation game where you follow a retired boss after a successful sports career. A simplified phone version is also available. There's one letter in the game's title that's been changed.
It's games like this when you realise, or rather when I realise, I'm just shit.
Jesse and I are particularly bad at games, which is why I tend to usually host.
What? I don't think I would have got this one, honest. So it's Football Managed 2021.
Oh my God.
This is going to be the longest 10 minutes of our lives. Right, okay.
Let's go. We'll blast for him. I'm going to put my brain to like full power mode. I'll get him all this time.
Okay, you're ready now.
Cool. Yeah, I'm hyped.
All right, number two.
Are we just shouting out? How do you want us to, or are you going to go people to take turns?
I mean, you can shout out. Let's be a bit chaotic
let's
with
go
it.
Mental.
Yeah, go on.
All right.
This 3D adventure game has the player step into the shoes of an archer with a nice bird friend in what may very well be an impossible quest to understand simple addition and subtraction.
Oh my God.
I guess first up, do you know which game it is?
No.
It's so complicated.
I'm imagining like a really like kind of colourful indie game and it's really nice and like wholesome.
Not sure with a nice bird friend. So I was thinking, well, I can't say because then that will spoil it for Jesse.
Oh, okay.
Can you give us a clue? Oh, it came out in 2020, didn't it?
It did come out in 2020. It's a single player game.
I think I know what game it is, but I'm trying to think of how to word it up.
Can you tell us the clue again, please?
Yeah, sure. So this 3D adventure game has the player step into the shoes of an archer with a nice bird friend in what may very well be an impossible quest to understand simple addition and subtraction. So what I will say is the first part of the clue is obviously about the game,
yeah,
but the second part is very important in, like, with the whole letter changing.
Okay.
Is it Horizon Zero Dawn?
No, although that is a good guess.
Is this going to be the first podcast game where none of us get points? I'm so excited. You know what? My brain is just turning to mush right now, so right. I am...
Tell us the answer. Let's go on to question two.
Okay, so the answer is... So the game is The Pathless.
Oh my God, days.
We'd never have got that.
And so the P is being changed for an M, so it's The Mathless.
Oh, of course.
It's easy after. It's easy for me, right? Because I know the answer, yeah. So yeah. But it's, I imagine it's really hard. Like,
if
I don't think I would have got either of those, to be fair.
Okay.
All right, you ready for the next question?
Yeah, I'm ready for the next. How many are there?
There are 10.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right.
I guessed it right.
Whoa. Yeah, there you go. You should get a point for that.
I should get a point for that, to be fair.
Do you want to pretend to be a high schooler in Japan? Do you hate rotten adults committing acts of injustice? Do you stay with your girlfriend even if all your other female friends hit on you? Then this is the game for you.
That's too long.
I know. I feel like I know exactly what game it is because I definitely played it, but I'm trying to think. It's just one letter, right?
It's just one letter, yeah.
Like the clue, thanks so much for submitting this, by the way, but keep the clue to 7 words maximum, I would say. Sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah. Do you want to pretend to be a high schooler in Japan? Do you hate rotten adults committing acts of injustice? Do you stay with your girlfriend even if all your other female friends hit on you? Then this is the game for you.
I feel like I know exactly what game it is, but I'm trying to think of letter is.
But I don't know. I have no idea what letter change is. Do you want to say what game you think it is, Jesse?
I think it's Persona 5 Royale.
I think it's Persona 5 Royale.
You're both right.
Right.
But what's the letter change? I need to know.
Do you want to guess or is it we just...
It's going to be something Royale. So fucking obvious when it happens, isn't it?
Is it Loyal?
Oh my gosh, it's Loyal, yeah.
That's bullshit.
How did you get that?
What is the only thing that I can think of, like, Royal? Like, okay, right, let's change. Well, there you go.
Oh my God.
Alex has a point.
But I have no idea how I got a point. Okay.
Okay, yes. Next question.
I'm in the game.
I'm so proud of you.
This PS5 launch game and PC Epic Games exclusive is very beautiful and fully takes advantage of its 4K capable machine. Wear cool armors, enjoy repetitive combat, and submerge yourself in a tragic story about the downfall of a Facebook group moderator.
Oh my God.
This is a PS5 launch game.
Yeah. And PC Epic Games exclusive.
Right.
I'm trying to think what PS5 game launch.
Can you go over that again, please?
The clues are exceptional.
Shall I do the second part of the clue? Because, I guess we focus on the
We know it's a
game.
PS5 launch game, it's on the PC Epic Store.
Wear cool armors, enjoy repetitive combat, and submerge yourself in a tragic story about the downfall of a Facebook group moderator.
Is it? I don't think this is right. Rather than Spider-Man Peter Parker, it's Spider-Man Peter Gorbutt, because he's part of the Duck Hunters admin group.
It is not.
It's mate, that's like, well funny. Obscure.
I know, but like, I don't know.
That was a treat in itself.
Was yeah. it? Good. That's how my brain works.
Man.
I don't know. Is it Spider-Man?
Jesse,
Spider-Man's
are you giving
not,
up?
Spider-Man's not on PC, I don't think.
No.
What's the other PS5 launch game? Just tell us the game, and then we'll see if we
hold
can...
Hold up. Okay. What's the clue again? Can you just tell me that just one more time?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, sure.
Listen now, I'm trying to get a point.
Wear cool armors, enjoy repetitive combat, and submerge yourself in a tragic story about the downfall of a Facebook group moderator. This is really tricky.
I want to say the game is Sackboy, A Big Adventure.
But it's not. I'm sorry.
Right. I'm lost.
Go on then, tell us. Well, okay, tell us what the game is at first. This is for no points. This is just literally for pride now.
No, if I guess it.
Okay, so it's Godfall.
Would never have got it.
Who played Godfall?
Do you want to guess at which letter changed?
No, it's all on your brain, Alex.
Just, I don't know. Say.
So it's Modfall.
Oh, fuck.
It's so obvious when you say it.
I know, it's horrible.
Oh, okay. Man.
How many have we done so far?
Should we just give up at this point and say Alex is the ultimate winner?
No, we're not. Come on, Jesse, you can get a point. Right, let's
you
go.
Might get this next. You might get the next two.
All right.
Maybe. If we can't do that, we'll just call it a day.
Yeah.
Okay. More than a decade after the Battle of Hastings, a group of Normans get the bright idea to start their own community for people who want to stick small metal shards in their heads. It's about as good as it sounds.
Sorry, say again. You're welcome. I'm sorry for the utter silence. If you could see our faces where it's just bemusement.
More than a decade after the Battle of Hastings,
right.
A group of Normans
get
the
specific? Is that key to this?
I can dig in for clues,
so that
man.
Is to do with the number that has changed. I'll say that. That's not to do
is
with
it,
the game,
it?
That's to do...
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's like the thing that's different. And then... the part about people sticking small metal shards in their heads, that's actually in the game.
Oh, my days.
Okay, I can give you a clue, actually.
Go on,
we have mentioned it today.
Oh, my God.
This game has been mentioned today during the podcast.
Look, he's going through the running order. What have you spoken about today?
Mentioned or spoken about a lot?
Oh, wow.
It was just mentioned.
Far Cry 1066.
No.
No, that's the Battle of Hastings.
That's a good guess, though.
I know, right?
It wasn't something we planned to talk about today.
Oh, okay.
It was mentioned just sort of in the conversation.
Oh. So it's not on the running order?
No.
Oh.
There's no cheat sheet, unfortunately.
Hook me up with that email.
I think Far Cry 1066 is pretty goddamn good.
You know what? Let's give you a point for that.
Well, even though it's not right.
A point for the effort, yeah.
Oh, man. You know, I'm definitely not getting any of these, man. I've never won this game, ever.
Okay. It's hard, yeah. Like, I've heard previous ones, and like those. I feel like those have been easier. Emil's really putting us through our paces here. Okay, so the game is Cyberpunk 2077.
Right.
But the year has changed to 1077.
Oh.
Well, that's not a decade.
Alex.
It was more than a decade after the Battle of Hastings.
I know, but you can't say more than a decade, because...
yeah, that's not specific.
It's a century. If you just said a century... I was thinking, oh, so 1076. All right, okay. What's happening around that? Oh,
right. I am very angry now.
Far Cry 1066. That's the one.
Yep.
Wicked. I can't believe you're winning just so well.
I know. So far ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. It's tough being a teacher in robot art school, especially when the teaching facilities are a mess. Use the power of a new controller to make sure your students have great arts and crafts experience so they can all give their grandparents a homemade ashtray for Christmas. It's an interesting one.
I know exactly what game it is.
Yeah, I know what game it
okay.
is.
Okay.
I can't actually remember what it's called, though. The full title.
You fool.
Could Jesse get a point here?
No, definitely not.
So can you say the clue one more time, please?
Yeah. It's tough being a teacher in robot art school, especially when the teaching facilities are a mess. Use the power of a new controller to make sure your students have a great art and crafts experience so they can all give their grandparents a homemade ashtray for Christmas.
This is going to sound so... I was going to say Arts Rose Playroom, but that can't be it, right?
Both of those are good guesses, I would say. They're not the answer I'm seeing in front of
me. Is it called Astro's Playroom or Astro Bot? I can't remember.
Ah, I can't tell you.
Well,
dig into your mind.
I'd say with the ashtray, maybe don't dwell on that part of the clue too much. Maybe just more like just making something arts and craftsy, but not the specific item. Like,
if you type the answers into chat, no one will hear that. let's see here. The silence says everything when it comes to this game between Alex and myself.
This is really tricky.
You said that we might be able to get it.
Yeah, but
you're a liar.
Seeing your reactions to it now, and like, I can see your thought process, and I think
the game is hard. Astro's Playroom.
Yes,
yeah. And it's something to do with arts and crafts.
Yeah,
Astro's Playroom.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes.
Oh my
god.
Oh my god.
To Jesse.
What a success.
I think we're going to have to do this as a team, frankly, because we're never going to get
to work together.
Oh my god.
Okay.
A weight has been lifted.
I bet, honestly, the people listening to this cannot believe the tension going on.
That's
neck
fine.
And neck at 1 point each.
I know.
How many left?
Oh man.
We've got four questions.
Oh, okay. Or we could just do winner takes all on the next one.
We could just do that as well. This could be the tiebreaker.
Right. Emma, pick the easiest one for both our sanity and for those listening.
I've got it. Okay.
All right.
This is a long clue though, so I'll probably read it twice.
All right.
It's a tough world in this space combat game about advanced mathematics and statistics. If you make the wrong graphs or use the wrong data sets, you're toast. Fortunately, you're not alone in this barren wasteland of numbers, pie charts, and Excel spreadsheets. You have your team, your wingmen, your squadron.
Call of Duty Bar Zone.
It's not, but that is a good answer. I'd say the most important parts of the clue is it's a tough world in this space combat game about advanced mathematics and statistics. And
I completely missed the space part and said Call of Duty as well. What an idiot.
Right, okay.
And you have your team, your wingmen, your squadron.
Yeah, oh, I know what game it is as well. Yeah, I'm big into it. Oh, I'm trying to think.
Why don't you drop some clues?
Me?
Well, yeah. If you know what it is.
I played it exclusively in VR, whilst others did not.
Oh.
He's got it now. He's going to destroy me.
I like it. Alex is writing this down as well.
Yeah, what
that nerd. Helps, doesn't it? Like, you can see it on like a page.
All right. Okay. So I think I've got the game. What's the clue to the thingy change?
Okay. It's a tough world in this space combat game about advanced mathematics and statistics.
I'm really sorry to everybody listening, because this
it's painful.
Oh my god,
this is what sucks. I know what game it is as well,
and I've written it down, and I'm trying to think, you know, what...
I'm trying to think of like mathematical terms,
mathematics and statistics.
Oh, this is bullshit.
Stat Wars Squadrons.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I was focusing on the squadrons part.
Oh, my God.
You know what? Very, very well played. Congratulations, Alex.
Thanks.
2 points.
So congratulations. Much. Yeah, 2-1.
I did get an extra bonus point, though, for saying it was 10 questions. So, really, it was a tie. But, you know, we can talk about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but
later.
I got Far Cry 1066, which is arguably a better answer.
So really, the points are like all over the place because we were so creative. So we're all winners today.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go with that. Thank you, Emil, for sending that in. That was really that was quite tricky.
Emma, do you want to quickly read out the last three so we can open them up to the audience to see who gets them right?
Sure.
Not and for then a prize, but purely for pride.
I'll get them all right now.
So just the clues. Yeah, just the clues. Descriptions.
Yeah.
Okay. In this expansion to an already huge MMO with a long legacy, you must travel to the afterlife and face the toughest challenge of them all. Prevail in a battle of the bands against groups of shadows. So okay. That's the first one.
That's the first one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next one.
I know the answer. I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah?
Too late.
We humans may... Yeah, exactly. It's done now. We humans may consider ourselves advanced warriors, but does that hold true? What if hunting is nothing more but sport to hyper-dangerous space aliens? And what if that sport is about kicking us as far as possible towards the opposing team's end zone?
You just hear words and none of it makes sense.
Exactly. You may as well be speaking a different language. The look of, like, the blank look on both mine and Jesse's face is like, what?
Just glazing over.
Yep. Man. Next one.
This is the last one. A terrible murder drives the actors of a well-loved Jordan Peele movie towards their second adventure in this video game. Brutal fights, fascinating characters, and shivs made from scissors are all part of a frightening revenge quest set in Seattle.
Have fun answering those, everyone. There you go.
Send them in to us.
I kind of have an idea of what that last one is, but I'm not going to say.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Yeah, so send in your answers to IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com, and if you get them all right, well, you are absolutely better than Jesse and I.
Yeah, I thought you were going to test me on the address because I've got it all memorized now.
Do you?
You prepared
now. Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
Too late.
Mm.
Let's go over to feedback.
I
think you've got the first piece, Emma.
I do. Hello. This is from Matt D. Excuse me. Matt says, hello all. In response to episode 609's question on media you want to consume only once, Into the Wilds was a film I watched when I was around the same age as the protagonist. I didn't know what to expect, and it left me in a way that I only later understood as harrowing. I question mortality, purpose, and the place a person takes in the world. It stuck with me, and I won't watch that film again in case it affects me in the same way, or maybe in case it doesn't. In terms of games, I agree with the comment that one of you made regarding choices and branching paths. The way it went for me in Life is Strange, Cyberpunk 2077, and Disco Elysium is the way I always want to think of it. I won't replay it for the fear of diluting that experience. Do any of you have any moments of extreme emotion from films or games that you care to share? Many thanks for the years of audio gold. Thank you, Matt.
Audio gold.
That's lovely.
I'm not one to get... I don't think I've actually got very emotional about games at all.
Alex has never shed a tear.
I have. Ever. I'm like I'm really emotional with TV shows and film, like especially after having kids. I don't know what it is, but as soon as you have kids, you bore your eyes out at anything. It's honestly, it's embarrassing. What was I watching? I was watching something SpongeBob. Really recently, and I started to sort of get quite emotional about it. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Like a DIY SOS. Oh my God, I am in bits in DIY SOS. I can't watch that. And then
Paw Patrol really gets me.
Only in a, like, I can't stand to watch that. I remember being on a plane in, must have been 2003, 2004. I was flying back or flying out on holiday or something. And they had Big Fish on while I was watching it. And anyway, it's a film about somebody's relationship with their dad. And my dad had just died a few months earlier. Oh. And I was properly crying my eyes out on the plane.
Mm.
And that's not a good look for anybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks, Matt. Thanks for making me relive that. Cheers.
What about yourself, Emma? When have you just ever cried when playing Metroid or just, you know?
Yeah, thankfully, Metroid's never made me cry, which is good. I can balance that sad memory with a happy one.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. Extreme happiness.
Yeah, extreme happiness. So I was really, really happy when I finished Guitar Hero 3 for the first time because the songs at the end of that game are really hard. And I was playing it on the Wii at the time in like my parents' living room. I would have been in like secondary school and I got stuck on Rain in Blood for hours. And so my parents and my whole family were just like, oh my gosh, please like turn it off.
Song.
And I was like, no, I want to finish it. Yeah. And I kept messing up at the same bit. And then finally, when I finished that game, I was so happy. I like shouted out and like did this like really cringy, like sort of like, yes, like dance. And that stuck with me. Yeah.
You know what? That does sound pretty damn sweet, to be fair.
So we've gone from extreme happiness, extreme sadness. Where are you, Jesse?
Let's bring it back down.
Good.
To be fair, I don't think I've ever been like just madly like teary-eyed or just like crying and bawling over a game and stuff. But I think Red Dead Redemption 2, like the ending segments of that, and there's one. There's one particular song that plays near the end on the main character's final ride, essentially. And it was a song that, weirdly enough, one of my grandparents really enjoyed when they heard as well.
Right.
And just that ride and what it means and the person who really enjoyed that song and stuff like just all of that and what happens to Arthur Morgan and stuff, like it's quite an emotional ending. And that's always stuck with me. but yeah, that made me feel things other than just being a great game with a cool story, but yeah, that ending,
it is a great game with a cool story, but I think it does land some of those emotional. I remember that bit. Yeah, it was very very good. And I think also, as you say, if there is additional kind of memories tied in with that, then it's going to kind of trigger that.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, is the next piece of podcast feedback a little bit more uplifting?
Of course it is, because I'm reading it.
Okay.
So I'm going to sound happy.
Do it in your best VO voice.
Hey guys, not the longest time listener of the podcast, only roughly a year ago now or so, but the show has quickly become a weekly necessity and really helps get through the weekend night shift. I'm not doing that anymore. Okay. This is from Lee Damon, and he continues to say, obviously the biggest gaming craze for the past 4 or 5 years has been the Battle Royale genre, which some love and others are probably bored of now at this stage. I saw a while back that apparently data miners had found code for a supposed The Last of Us Part 2 Battle Royale in the works, and would be interested in your thoughts on this. I spoke to my friend about it, and some of the ideas that sprang to mind with what Naughty Dog could potentially do with Battle Royale set in The Last of Us world got me really excited for the game I thought I never needed but now care for nothing else. What do you think of this, and are there other games you would like to see a Battle Royale game mode made for? To answer on my side, no. I think I've had enough of Battle Royale. I think the one thing that really pushed it was Ghost Recon trying to do that. They revealed it. And then today, I think they sent out a tweet saying, we're not going to show anymore for a while because of the feedback. And also, I think Vampire the Masquerade, they had their own like Battle Royale things. Just like, it's it's fun when it's good, but not everything has to do it.
No.
You've already got like giants doing that genre. I'm not saying like no one can try and, you know, experiment with it, but like, please leave these franchises that have never had anything to do with that kind of style of game to just do what they've always got done. I don't know. It's just, I'm not a fan.
I'm not sure how well it would work. Obviously, I think you have to play to the strengths of the original game.
Yes.
Battle Royale does not feel like a natural fit for something like Last of Us. Now, I love Last of Us 2. Like, going back to the previous thing, actually, that was a game that had me like all kinds of emotions because, you know, at one point I absolutely hated Abby. And then it's, you know, swung completely the other way because you've got a different side of Ellie and, you know, you could see their motivations. And obviously that was the whole point of the game. But at no point do I want to see 100 people hiding behind things with shivs doing that. It just doesn't feel just like going all Rambo right and shit. That to me, there is talk of some kind of multiplayer thing, isn't there? And I must admit, I don't think I played the multiplayer for Last of Us 1.
I didn't either, but I know a lot of people loved that multiplayer. Yeah,
and so maybe it has got something in there. But for me, that game is a story-driven game, and that's why I love it. And equally, Jesse, I'm the same as you. I feel like there are a lot of very good Battle Royale games out there already. I'd like to see multiplayer games that perhaps try something different.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I was excited to hear when, like, you know, I think it might have been the 20th or 25th anniversary for Ghost Recon. I know I just mentioned it before, but like they're saying, we've got a brand new announcement. And then I watched that trailer and you see the reaction of chat. And I know it's a live stream and stuff and people are going to be saying stupid shit. But when you see live, the dislike ratio starts to get higher and higher as you're watching a stream. It's like, I know there's talented people who work on these games for sure. And, you know, I'm sure everyone puts 110% in, but it's like, I just want to know what the creative thought process is of being like, let's make a battle royale now. It's like, I don't get it. You're taking on Call of Duty and Fortnite and stuff. It's like, how do you compete with that in anything that's remotely special? I think Ubisoft did a battle royale game that me and Matt played a year ago, and
neon sort of tins.
Yeah,
Hyperscape.
That's Hyperscape. That died on its ass. I was playing. I was like, this plays well, like most Ubisoft games. But you just knew in your head that this is not going to go anywhere.
And at least that had a bit of a different aesthetic. Whereas I thought the Ghost Recon thing is just Warzone repackaged.
Yeah.
It really does look like Warzone. Yeah. I feel like I like Battle Royale, and I played a lot of Apex. And like Fortnite when it came out, and I've sort of played a little bit more Fortnite recently, but I have this thing with Battle Royale where I'll play it for a bit, I might get the battle pass, start sort of grinding through it, and then I'll just drop out of it entirely and not play it for weeks. And I don't feel like I can handle any more Battle Royales at this point. Like I can't pick up another one and then drop that like I do with the others.
No.
Yeah. I experience extreme emotion when I see another Battle Royale game unveiled. That's the answer to the previous
one.
Well,
we've really pissed on Lee's chips there, haven't we? Jesus. Sorry, Lee. If it does come out, I hope you enjoy it. But it's just not for me.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? If you have any great Battle Royale ideas, why don't you send an email over to IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com.
I think you're better off sending them to Ubisoft because they could probably do with all the help they can get right now.
Yeah, don't send the ideas to us, please.
That's it for this week's podcast. Firstly, I do want to apologise to everybody for our endless search debacle in the middle. I can't help the fact that both Jesse and I are shit at these games.
I think that was a riveting audible experience. Do you? And okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, hopefully other people think that. I'm not so sure. But thank you both. And that's it for this week. And we will see you soon. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Bye.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.